The Frames Per Second Podcast. Fire, 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 fire.
I'm gonna get me a band and make me some records. I know how to play real music, not this jug band shit.
You call that playing music?
I know what I'm doing. Go on and fire me, I don't care.
When I got there, they began to say,
that's to get the people's attention. That's when you and Slow Drag come in with the rhythm part. Me and Cutler play on the break.
They don't care nothing about me. All they want is my voice.
A one, a two, a you know what to do.
What's going on? It's your boy Nicky Ducey, aka Mr. No Disrespect. And you now tune in to the Frames Per Second Podcast. In this episode, we are reviewing Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, the Denzel Washington produced film directed by George C. Wolfe, starring Viola Davis, and I believe this is Chadwick Boseman's last performance before he passed, RIP.
Wait, that was Viola Davis?
Yes. I know. Yeah. I didn't know until the end either.
I didn't realize that?
No. You didn't realize it from the beginning?
No. I knew I recognized her face a little bit.
Yeah.
But it took the end and the credits popping up for me to be like, oh,
that's
wow.
Crazy.
Damn.
They did her dirty as hell, bro.
Yeah, they did.
That's crazy.
That's how she looked, though.
Yeah,
that is how she looked.
Yeah, you know? I didn't even know it was a real person until the end.
Really?
Did you guys watch the behind the scenes little thing that they did?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Nope. I feel like that's leading to something. But before we get into that, I bring up Denzel Washington because lately, I think his last couple movies or a few movies. Have been dealing with August Wilson, the famous playwright, and he's just really been taking a hold of his catalog with Fences and now this movie. And obviously both of them starred Viola Davis as well, so he likes working with her. But yeah, let's get into the review. I'm overall thoughts. Mike, what's up?
Dang, that's new. Never started with me before.
I
enjoyed this. I had zero clue what the fuck this was. And it took a minute for me to like really get my brain into that world. Cause to be totally honest and blunt, Chadwick Boseman's character was annoying the fucking shit out of me for the first like 20 minutes. But once I got myself acclimated to what was going on with that world, I dug it, man. It was a very different kind of movie, a different filming style, a different dialogue style. I enjoyed it. It's not movie of the year, no shit like that, but it was good.
How about you, Cam?
I ain't know what the fuck was going on, even when it was over. I mean, was just like, what damn. The fuck is, what
you
the fuck
know
did I just watch?
Viola, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It was definitely a different kind of movie. Yeah. So I still don't know.
Yeah. You don't know how you feel, or you just don't know what it's about?
I knew what it was about, but it just felt very spaced out. They're very spacey. I was just like,
interesting.
Nah, I couldn't do it. I was like, damn, Chad was annoying.
He was annoying as shit.
Oh my god!
But that's to the testament of his acting.
I believe that shit.
I did. I was like, man, I want to slap the shit out you, right,
bro.
Now. Rest
I'm
in peace,
real.
Of course. But bruh,
Jesus,
getting on my fucking nerves, bro.
Nate, what's up? What'd you think?
I love this. This is my type of shit. I loved that. So with it being from a play, I understand the airiness of it because it kind of felt very much like a play, but I think it translated to film better than I think Fences did. I think Fences felt more like a stage production than this did. And I think the director did a really good job of bringing it onto the screen. I loved the acting. I loved the story. I loved that it was rooted in history. I loved the layers. This was my shit.
Mm. Finally found a movie that you like.
Yep.
Oh yeah. What's up? Yeah.
What's up, Rob? What you think?
So
uh-oh.
No.
But you ain't watching.
He laughing, Nick.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Somebody's in trouble.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Cause I'm last. But yeah, I didn't particularly care for Fences and like Viola's like a really good actress and Denzel's like one of my favorite actors. But yeah, I didn't really care for them, but I think this one was done well, man. I thought this one was done really well. I was a little skeptical going into it because, like Mike, I had no clue what this was, had no intention of watching it. It didn't draw my attention at all. Like, so, because I thought it was, y'all know I don't like musicals, so I thought it was a musical. So I just had no interest in it. Nay watched it before me. I was like, she's like, you gonna watch My Rent? I was like, nah, you got it. Because we normally watch stuff together. We normally watch stuff together, but man, was I surprised. Like, I was seriously surprised. Because, and another thing too, I don't know if I've ever said this, I'm not a big Chadwick Boseman fan either, like, of his acting. I never been a big fan of his. Like, he's okay, but I never thought he was as good as people say he is.
It's Black Panther.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't do it for me with Black Panther. He did it for me with
James Brown.
The Spike Lee joint.
Oh, Five Bloods.
But Black Bloods. But Black Panther. The people Rod's talking about.
No, yeah, he's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm like, he's cool, but you know, but he did good in this one.
Yeah, I actually like this film. I don't love it. But there were some really good scenes in it for me that made me like, okay, this is, I'm happy we got this kind of quality work from him as we are, you know, as a last, you know, memory of him and his career. Because what you recognize that most of his like hits have to deal with Black stories. And I like that. And I like how diverse those stories have been. And I also just love this movie because we see a sweaty Black woman yell at all white people. Not even said this. Man, Viola Davis was cussing out the white woman. Every trip, I was loving it. That shit, I mean, she cussed everybody out, actually. But I really liked it. And I like how we start off with, you know, in Georgia with, you know, with the main star, Ma Rainey, and doing her thing and seeing them on tour. I like how they show off, they showcase the music and the talent before we get into the story to explain like how talented these people actually are, which is why they act the way they act. And then we kind of go like, it does play out like a stage play. I kind of wanted to ask y'all, did y'all get that feeling after you did your research, or did you think that based off of just how everything was shot, it worked? Because sometimes it felt like, all right, we're in this scene for a while. This feels like I'm watching like a Madea play on DVD sometimes. Not the quality, but just like the actual, you know, stage formula.
It didn't feel like that to me. I mean, it didn't feel like that to me because I got pulled into that, to that room, to that, to where, to that studio. Like, I felt like the performances were very strong from everyone. Like, from everyone. And I really like that one, the main band guy, whatever. Especially, have y'all watched the new Euphoria episode?
Coleman Domingo.
Yeah.
They're talking about Cutler.
That dude is super talented, man.
But see, that's the funny thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad he's doing other shit. Because before that, all I knew him for was Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, wow.
And he's trash on that.
Oh, okay.
He's trash on that. It's probably not his fault. Okay. But he's trash.
Yeah, I don't think that's his fault. That. Because this dude. I think he's that next dude.
Yeah,
I really think he's that next dude, like how Mahershala was.
Yeah.
I think this guy's that next dude. Huh?
I liked him in Beale Street. He was in Beale Street as well.
He was the dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the dad. See, I didn't like that movie, so it didn't really stand out to me in that. But nah, I like this guy.
For a while, whenever his name, like when I saw him pop up in Euphoria, I was like, here we go with this motherfucker.
Mm.
And he was great. And I saw him in something else. I forget what it was. But he was in something else after Euphoria. But then when he did the little special with, I was like, man, this dude,
we
is
haven't
amazing.
Talked about that either.
When are we talking about that, by the way?
I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it either.
It's one you have to really just like sit down and just put everything away and just get sucked into it.
Yeah.
But seeing him in this, I was like, what?
I was like, damn, it's like that. I didn't realize I had to take some time.
Nick ain't going to, you're not going to,
don't watch
like
it high.
He ain't going to watch it then.
No, I'm going to watch it. Y'all be hyping.
Anyway, seeing him in this, I was like, oh, it's really dope to finally see him getting some good ass roles. And when he was actually the first like the man in charge, I was like, all right, this is actually going to be good. And he murdered this role, man. Like, people can get upset all they want, but I was more enveloped in him than I was with Chadwick Boseman's character. But yeah, he was incredible. He was fucking incredible. He kind of feels like people are gonna start looking at him like he's the next Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. Really?
No, I'm not that. Even though I'm not that, I'm not a Denzel like stan like that. But I could see people looking at him and being like, "Yeah, this dude can do it."
Mm-hmm. No, he's super smart and stuff. Like, I mean, he's really talented, man. Like,
seriously. So, Rod, did you really like that rehearsal scene that we get into in the early parts of the film?
I like everything about this movie. Like, this movie was really good, man. It really surprised me, man. I was really into this film.
Poor Nick. He was trying to guide you into his outline.
Oh,
and it didn't work.
Yeah, what did he ask me?
He asked me if you liked the rehearsal.
I said,
scene.
I liked everything. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
You good?
Yes, the rehearsal scene was good.
I thought they did a good job at introducing all the characters in the band in that scene. Like, you really get to see everybody's personality in that scene. I think they did a really good job of setting that up.
And anytime you give me Colonel Brad Taylor, I don't know why, but I get excited.
Yeah. I'm so happy he's getting work.
Me too.
It's like, because I don't. What else was he in? I feel like
Fargo. He was in Fargo.
Well, I haven't seen that, but I feel I don't know why I want to say it's Lovecraft Country. I could be wrong.
He was in something like that very recently.
Yeah, and I'm just happy to see him getting work like that.
Yeah, what was it now? Because he was in something we reviewed. Because I kept calling him Brad Taylor.
Yeah, I thought he was.
I think he must have been in Lovecraft Country.
I'm not sure, but yeah, I'm happy that he's getting roses now.
Because he's good.
He is.
He is good.
Yeah, I really dig that rehearsal scene, like you said, Nate, because the conversations that was going on in there, as far as we getting to know each other, the character. What did you guys think of Levy? I'll start with, what's his name, Levy?
Levy.
Ken, what was you thinking about Chadwick Boseman's character, like how we got introduced to him? And I didn't know that he was like an outsider to the group more. I thought they were all like always traveling together.
I mean, arrogant, cocky. He really came across as like one of those artists that really believe in himself and that this was just a stopgap, and very naive, you know, and didn't want to listen. So he was young and inexperienced, and he just thought that at some point when he leave this, that he was going to make it. And he refused to listen to the guidance that, you know, the elders were trying to give him. They were trying to give him some game, but he didn't want to listen. But the way they felt about him in the movie is the way I felt watching him in the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, so I definitely felt like I was in that room. But I liked him a lot, and then as the movie went on, he just wore on me. I'm like, bro, like, dang, why are you talking so goddamn much?
I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but I felt like he acted that way just in the same way, like kind of how Ma did, as far as like being cocky with their talent.
But Ma made, I'm sorry, he was talking.
Go ahead. No, that's all right. Go ahead.
But Ma had made it, bro. Mm-hmm. She got hits. She got clout. She can cuss out the white folks because she understood her position.
Right.
She clearly explained it in the movie, which I love. Mm-hmm. He hadn't done any of that yet.
That's true. He hadn't done it yet, but he was a smart kid. Like, he knew, or he thought he knew, how to manipulate the white people. Like, Ma did it because she was just like, I've already made it. Mm-hmm. You motherfuckers need me. I can yell at you all I want because you can't do shit to me. Whereas Levy thought he was just smarter than them and he could trick them into doing what he wanted them to do. So that was what I thought was actually really interesting about his character. Like, he knew he had talent. He knew he could write songs, and he knew that he didn't need that band, and he really didn't need the band, but he was extremely fucking annoying.
It reminded me of like kids today, like how, you know, they see like someone has tenure in the game or whatever, and they think they can just like, because of social media, it just seems so accessible and they can just get it like that. Don't realize that they got to put the grind in, put the work in order to get there. So it kind of reminded me of that.
He's a little.
Because
he knew what the people wanted. He was spot on in terms of sound and songs.
Right. It was Ma that was like, no, you're playing
from me.
For your emotion, and I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Play it like how I told you to play it. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the white people were like, oh no, this motherfucker has talent, mm-hmm. but we're gonna use him and not, you right. know, compensate him.
Did you
want to
say that?
No, Ken kind of pointed on it. Like I think it was basically a battle of ego with him, because they kind of show that in that opening scene when there's playing and he how he tries to steal the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And it's like it identified a power struggle between the two of them immediately. He is immensely talented. He's an immensely talented young man. He's aware of his talent, and he feels like that talent gives him agency to get to where he wants to get right now. He feels like he can be where Ma is right mm-hmm. now, and he can't do that as long as Ma is in power. So it identified immediately that power struggle.
Them shoes were slick, though.
New shoes. New shoes. I got some new shoes.
I didn't realize like $11 stretched that far back in the day. But he was like, yeah. it's a week's worth of pay. I'm like, damn, how much do y'all make a day?
Nigga, Coke was a nickel.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn. What, the 20s, 40s?
27.
20s, yeah.
Yeah, so they're in Chicago. Nay, I wanted you to talk about your thoughts on Ma's character, Viola Davis's acting performance, and how she completely transformed, at least to Ken's point of view, to a yeah. whole new person.
She did. Viola Davis is an acting fool. I have been a fan of Viola. Mm-hmm. So I like the movie Antoine Fisher. And I knew from her scene in Antoine Fisher, she played Antoine Fisher's biological mother. And she stole that scene without saying a word. Just sitting there listening to Antoine talk and letting a single tear drop, she stole that whole movie for me. So I knew from that point she was going to be amazing. And I really have enjoyed watching her career. And she is an acting fool in this. She gained 20 pounds, I think, for the role.
Oh, wow.
They padded. She wore padding to add the extra weight also. She completely embodied this person, and I had never seen images of Ma Rainey until after. So seeing her performance and then seeing the picture of Ma Rainey at the end and the pictures in the end, and then watching some of the behind the scenes of it, she completely embodied whoever this woman was, because she was not Viola Davis to me. I didn't see Viola at all, to Ken not even realizing it was her.
Yeah, and I think, Mike, you had mentioned they did Viola wrong, but it was her choice to be like that.
No, I mean, I wasn't being
serious. Yeah, 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 I get you.
I just, God damn, they really made her, I don't want to call her ugly or nothing, but they really uglied her up.
No, I just want to say, you said she actually made the decisions on how she would look, yeah. how,
the
you know,
the makeup was her.
Everything, mm-hmm. yeah. It was her decision.
Yeah, the gold in the mouth, was she decided to do that. Mm. But that was part of the story of Ma Rainey was popular, but Bessie Smith became more popular. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things they touch on in that documentary about it is just how Ma Rainey didn't necessarily get the same popularity, because she just wasn't as digestible physically. Yeah. Like she was butch, she was aggressive, and she was just as abrasive. Palpable to white mm-hmm. people as a Bessie Smith was. Mm-hmm. So her playing into that, I thought, well, she did an awesome job to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she did.
She killed it.
One of the questions I had was her Dussie? Was that her daughter?
No.
That was her mother.
What? Oh, okay. That's really nice.
Because
I was going to ask.
Her girlfriend.
Because I was going to ask. I was like, did she introduce her as her daughter or her girlfriend? Because I was like, this is disgusting. If it was like, you know what I'm saying? But never mind.
Listen. Stop.
It's not. So
you thought the same thing?
No.
Oh. I mean, they flat out said it. Like when Coleman, I forget his name. What was his name? Colton. Yeah. When he told him, he's like, man, you can't. That's Bessie's girl. Not Bessie. That's Ma's woman. You can't mess with her like that.
That was one of the very first things they were talking about how Levy was trying to hit on her, mm-hmm. and she turned him down. And like, he need to stop hitting on Ma's woman.
Shit, Tilly, man. Oh, he said, can I introduce my brown? What did he say?
My red rooster.
My red rooster, your brown. Yeah, I said, oh,
that was... Hey, that's that 1927
for
game.
For real. We can bring that in 2020, boy. I'm going to use that one. Hey, girl.
Not.
Shit.
Nah, that'll work.
Shit, hey, girl. I'm trying to introduce my red rooster to your brown hair, boy. Cock-a-doodle-doo, this motherfucker, boy.
That's what I'm gonna work on, Farmer Girls.
Pause it with you, Farm Girl.
The sun ain't gonna be the only thing rising around here.
Yo, I'm like, boy, yo, I paused the movie. I was like, did he just say he going? Yes. I really was like, did he really just say that? That shit was crazy.
That shit was slick, man.
I never seen him act that way. So it was also weird just watching mm-hmm. him play a role like that. And then like their interaction was interesting because I didn't think it was gonna escalate that far.
Shit.
Dusty May was she just wanted some money.
Yeah.
She was going where the money was.
She was a hustler, bro.
Where the money resides, where the money resides. Where the money resides.
I still don't know what the hell y'all talking
about. Me either.
No,
hey,
bro.
I don't
know. Y'all is stupid.
You ain't seen the video to do pop out the trunk?
Yes.
Oh,
you haven't seen that yet?
Y'all have
the guy
not...
with the like purple shirt or
whatever.
Yeah,
the car dealer.
Yeah,
that makes no sense.
Yeah,
he popped out the trunk. Where the money resides?
I haven't even seen that. I seen
it, but I never knew why anybody like everybody was talking about. It, but I guess that's why.
Wow,
because it makes no sense. Why are you in the trunk?
Right,
like what is happening?
Sells cars.
Oh,
I had no
idea.
Anyway, yeah, Dustin May was still trying to be where the money resided. Yeah. She said, you get your own band. We'll see a young roaster can crew. Cook. What she say, roaster can crow or whatever.
No, she aged it. She still
did.
Gave him that.
She did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the piano.
He sold her
too,
dream, but
he did.
Well, he was playing all tight. He played the Nightmare on Elm Street beat up. He was fucking around that damn floor. But, man, another scene I got weak at this when we get more into like the rehearsal, like we see obviously her lover and her nephew, and we see early on they always, I feel like all black movies have one stuttering motherfucker.
That shit was funny though.
That shit was sad. I felt so bad for that boy.
That little people like, fix that.
How you gonna fix that?
I'm dying. Yo, before he even said it, the way he was looking in the back.
Yes. That seems so sincere. Yo, like man. The acting in that scene, like even with Slow Drag and Colonel Taylor laughing in the background, yeah. That whole scene seems so sincere.
Oh yeah, he had his back.
He turned his back.
He was in the corner with his back.
That shit, yo,
man. I will say, when he did it, when he got, I was like, oh, he got
too.
It.
I was like, yes. And when he was like, oh, we didn't get that one. I was like, damn, come on, man.
Yeah, that was
this poor
bullshit.
Kid.
I was getting weak when he cussed him out while he was stuttering.
Yeah, so he was like, who you to tell me, nigga?
It reminded me of Stink Miner from the Boondocks. Like, I don't know why that when he cussed him out, he said, nigga. And then Chad was like, ain't nobody stunting you.
It just reminded me of like Harlem Nights.
Yeah.
Or Mike, Dunaman from New Jack City.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you brought up when they were recording that scene, when they were showcasing, I guess, when they didn't record that song that they were trying to get for the whole time, which is the title of the movie, Black Bottoms. Was that intentional or was that accidental? Because I couldn't tell.
Was what?
As far as like when he said like, "Oh, we didn't get it. You got to do it again."
I don't think it was intentional.
I think there's a scene where they talk about how Levy had been at that studio before, and that they were having problems with the mic, or either when Ma was at the studio before and they were having problems with the mic, and somebody tripped and bust the mic up.
They said Levy did it. They said Levy fucked up the cord.
Right. So yeah, I don't think that was intentional at all.
Because that's money too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's money, and they need those records, obviously, for reference.
Yeah, that's a lot of money wasted.
What I thought about it is possibly intentional because of how the movie ends. We'll get to that part because I didn't know if he was just recording it and then saying like, oh, we didn't get it, and then use it again for his group and shit
I see what you're saying.
Nah, okay. That was Ma's music. They didn't do that for Ma's music. They were just doing that for Levy.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Levy again.
Yeah, no, they just did it in general.
Oh, okay.
But they wouldn't just Slave Ma because Ma was already... No. What I'm saying is they wouldn't have intentionally fucked up one of Ma's records because Ma was already popular.
Right.
They didn't buy her songs. They bought Levy's songs. Yeah. Right. And they were so stiff.
I got you.
They were so bad.
What you gonna ask? You gonna ask me something?
Yeah, Rod. I wanted to get your thoughts on Levy's scene when he was telling the crew about his the scene that happened with his mom and his dad. I thought that was like one of the most powerful scenes. There's like a few of them, but that was one of them.
Yeah, that one definitely pulled you in. Me personally, it pulled me in. He definitely commanded the camera in that particular scene, and it added depth to him. And it just made you, because I'm like Mike, you know, he was aggravating at first, and I didn't know how much longer I could take that. But then when he did that part, it's like, oh, okay, so that's why he's kind of like that or whatever. It just added another layer to him, and it's like, oh, okay, I get it. They did that a lot in this movie, actually. They did it with Ma. Like, because at first, damn, I keep veering away from your initial question, but it's kind of the same.
Now, go ahead.
Like, even with Ma, like, I even felt like that with her at first. I'm like, damn, why is she so mean? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she sat down and explained basically why she is, and she just don't take no shit. And I felt the same way about him in that particular scene. Like, okay, he got a chip on his shoulder, and this is why. So I thought that was really good, man. Like, for real. Like, and like I said, they did it a lot in this movie.
It was a real devastating story because it's such a real story. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that moved me the most about it, because it could very well not be fiction. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, it was something, man.
Yeah, I mean, we more than likely that was a real story for somebody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And and that's just the reality of that time. Like, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, Mike, would you agree with Rod as far as like how we get to some of these characters' backstories? Like, that was a great way to push that into the story while also progressing where we end up towards the end.
I mean, I think so. I didn't know this was a play prior to it being a movie. I didn't know that until y'all said it. I just thought that was just like a weird kind of quirky way of filming. I think introducing the story the way it did in most movies, that wouldn't have worked because it wouldn't have made sense. It felt shoehorned. But when I was watching this, it for some reason it worked, because it just felt like it was going along with the quirky way that they were filming everything in this film. But yeah, I think that they did it well. I think when he told that story, something like having to watch your mom get raped and then your dad disappears to go kill these people and then he gets hung and set on fire. Yeah, that's gonna fuck you up. And that's gonna make you act like you demand respect because you watch both of your parents get the ultimate kind of disrespect. I mean, I think that they did that really well. I don't think Ma's backstory really hit me that hard. And now I'm trying to think, I don't even remember what her backstory even was.
It wasn't really about, yeah.
It wasn't like,
she was just explaining why she had such a diva attitude, mm-hmm. and explaining why she treated these white people the way that she did, because she knows that they're using them. Huh?
Yeah, see, I don't think I needed that, because mm-hmm. that just seemed obvious.
See, it didn't seem that obvious to me.
Because I was thought, like, why else would she be so nasty to white people?
Because that's how like deep like, you know, artists like that are,
but not,
you know,
in the 20s.
I understand that maybe not in the 20s, but let's say it could have been like that in the 20s, because there have been some movies where I want to say, like, what, Dreamgirls was like that, where they get the fame and it goes to their head.
That was a little different.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, sometimes, like, in situations, fame can go to people's head. And that's how it made it seem. That's how it came off at first. That she had fame and that she thought she just could just say whatever to anybody. Mm-hmm. But it actually wasn't that. It was that, no, I just demand respect from these white people because they don't care nothing about me.
Yeah.
So that's why I treat them like that. It ain't like I treat them like that because, oh, I'm famous and I'm the shit. It's like I treat them like that because they don't give a shit about me.
See, I took it as all of that. Mm. See, I took it as, and I feel like I needed her to even explain it, because I just figured that's what it was from the beginning. But I figured it was, she knew that they saw her as just an expendable nigger, except from the fact that she was already popular, so she knew she could pop off and they couldn't do shit about it.
How did you know that?
It just, being what the times were, mm-hmm. the fact that it was the 20s and most black people did not act like that,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, okay, so she must really, really, really be the shit at this moment.
Mm.
And that's the only reason she can talk to these white folks the way she talks to them.
Well, this is right, what I thought was interesting, because technically she wasn't the shit up north. She was the shit down south. That's why she kept saying, I don't like it up here anyway. I can go back down to Georgia.
Right.
So that's one thing that I thought was interesting about this, is that she hadn't necessarily made it up north. She wasn't interested really in making it up north. She was comfortable with where she was, but her manager and the record company wanted to make more money off of her.
Right.
So she wasn't happy about having to be up there, but I'm gonna come up here, sign, make these records and go on back home. So I know for me, at least with that initial scene with her and the cops, like I felt like I needed that backstory, because with the times the way it was, even with her being Ma Rainey or obviously being somebody, the fact that she was that aggressive with the cops to me was odd. So I thought it was, I feel like I personally needed a bit of that backstory or a bit of that explanation, just to kind of get the fact that she really just don't give a fuck.
So you guys, if they had to specifically put that part in there, you don't think you would have just assumed that she doesn't give a fuck?
No, I would have assumed it, but it was good to hear it from her perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was clear that she didn't give a fuck, but I wanted to know why she was so confident in not giving a fuck.
That's the part. See, I never really got a detailed explanation of why she didn't give a fuck. Like, even when she said, you were just like, oh, these white folks, they don't give a fuck about us. I remember that was a part where I was just like, that's all you got? It's like, that's it? Because I was like, go ahead, Nick.
I was like, it felt like she was already used before and she learned from that. I think I thought she said something towards that in her monologue. And that's why she doubled down on it now. Like, they can't give me a Coke and it's worth a nickel. Like you said, Nay, it just felt like she's already been, you know, and when she was younger and maybe naive, she probably got ran over. Now she's learned from that. So now this is why she has to do what she has to do. So it kind of gave some clarity.
We'll be back after this quick break.
It didn't seem like she was that aware to me. It didn't seem like
that aware.
I'm gonna explain it. So it didn't seem like she was that aware to me. And what I mean by that is, like, it just came off as on the top layer, it just came off as she was a diva. But then when she said, look, they probably in the back right now calling me all kind of stuff and all that, I was like, damn, so she is, it's deeper than just her being a diva. Like, I didn't feel that at first. I felt exactly how I felt about, not exactly, but I felt somewhat like how I feel about Chadwick in this, is that he just, what they call him a fool. Like, this dude is a fool, just be talking shit, but didn't realize that it's an underlining to that. Same thing with her. This is just a diva-ass woman that just has it. She just bought a car and da-da-da-da-da. But there is a deeper underlining tone to that, is that she's fully aware that these people do not give a shit about me. They in the room right there talking about me just because I asked for this Coke. But it didn't come like that. It didn't come off like that when she first said it.
Interesting. Yeah, I just assumed that that's what she was thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, I felt like she had a full understanding of her power and her leverage. And it was part diva, but also part understanding that without her, they can't get what they need.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't think it was part diva. That's what I'm saying. I thought it was. But based on the way she was talking, it wasn't that she was a diva.
Oh, it was part diva, because she was talking to her own band like shit.
It wasn't just for white people. Yeah.
She knew who she was in the realm of all these relationships. And like I said, I think that there definitely was a power struggle. I think that Levy trying to push himself to the forefront was a threat to her positioning. So there was a level of diva to it in that sense.
In that sense,
because she needs to make sure, because once she's a woman with a bunch of men, so she has to make sure she exhibits this power and she maintains in control of her operation. Because very easily that, you know, someone like Levy could come in and remove that from her. And then the other thing they were talking about in the documentary is the fact that this was towards the end of her career. So she's on the downturn of her career. So she's also dealing with that also. So there definitely was a power struggle and a diva-ishness there, but she does have an understanding of what the situation is, to Ken's point.
Yeah, and I liked hearing her say it.
Yeah.
So while we didn't necessarily need it, because, you know, it could be inferred from just how she behaved, I still like hearing the words. The thing is, the person that needed to hear it didn't hear it because he was too busy downstairs trying to fuck old girl or fucking old girl.
Yep.
She was talking about Colton.
She was talking to Colton and what's his face?
And the person that needed to really hear the message to understand the game was doing what he was doing.
With Mike, to your point, as far as Colonel Taylor and his acting as Toledo, didn't he always he was the one that addressed him as the fool at first, and kind of just tell? I think everybody told him about himself, but he was the one that was from the beginning of the film was preaching philosophical stuff about, I guess, the world and how it works and what is. They had that interesting argument of what is fair in life as a black man. Could you speak more about it, like why you liked his performance as far as Toledo?
I just thought he sounded like an old wise black granddad, and he played that role extremely well. It almost felt like he wasn't acting. Mm-hmm. It just felt like that was just him, you know? And a lot of the things that he was saying, it just like, I feel like those were things that I would hear my granddad say, and we would do the same shit that Levy did, which was like, man, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, nothing you're saying right now makes any sense. And then you get older and you're like, no, everything he said made complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't want to hear it. But he was really saying some really serious shit. And like that whole discussion about, you know, life not being fair, and then the discussion about, you know, where Levy's talking about, you know, life ain't shit, it's death. Death's the one with style and all that other shit. And it was like that whole back and forth to me was such a deep scene. And now that you guys are telling me it was a play, it definitely feels like a play now. But I kind of wish I didn't know it was a play because it just came off like a really weird art film to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, Brad Taylor's part, I think I liked it because it just felt like he wasn't acting.
Mm-hmm. Even when he was playing the piano, talking about the stew and coming from Africa and colored men being the leftovers, but you got to know you the leftovers. Like even that, as he was playing and doing this like monologue, that even felt like just somebody talking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
What's actually what it was?
Just somebody just talking, because he wasn't talking to anyone. He was just kind of
talking off in space.
Right, yeah, but it just felt natural. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Rod, I was wondering, did you expect, since we're talking about like everyone's story, like Coulter, he had a story as well. They kind of got interrupted a little bit based off of Levy going in and out the room. But did you expect that to turn as violent as it did as far as that scene?
Mm-mm. No, I didn't expect for it to turn that. He's like, you talking about my God?
That's my blaspheme, my God.
My God.
That's my God.
Jesus.
Man, yeah, I did not expect it to go there. He pulled a knife out on him, man. He's like, I'm gonna give you a chance to prove your, you know, see if your God show up.
I love that.
Man, that jump was so powerful.
I'm looking for your God.
Yeah.
Something
man.
Like that he was saying.
Oh, that was powerful, man. Oh, that was such a powerful scene.
Yeah, that was shocking. That definitely didn't feel like you knew that was coming. When he slammed up against the wall with his arm, I was like, damn, bro, he didn't really say nothing that bad. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. He was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shocked me because I didn't know how crazy he was. Like, I thought they were just probably at most going to just, you know, fight it out with their fists. But when he pulled the knife out, it was like, damn.
Who was?
Levy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking Colton too.
Yeah, I thought you were saying Colton because
no.
In the quiet people, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They'll snap, and that's exactly how they'll snap.
And that's the one thing black folks will flip the fuck out about, which is weird as hell to me. But you start talking about Christianity, their religion, their God, that's the one thing that they will fight you real quick over.
They get violent.
They get real violent
over God.
Shit. Right. Right.
Kind of fits.
True.
They Christians kill a lot of motherfuckers. Over their God.
Nay, you were about to say something?
Was I? I think I was gonna ask, that scene happened after Ma fired Levy, right?
Mm-mm.
No, it was before? Okay.
Yeah, you watched this shit five times.
I did. I have. I watched it a lot.
I told y'all, man, when they like something, man, she just watches
it
over
and over.
It's the weirdest thing.
Nah, but Nate, since you're on that point as far as, did y'all expect Levy to get fired?
Yeah.
Yeah. man.
From the beginning, I was like, she gonna fire his ass at some point.
Mm-hmm. And I love when she did, nigga, you fired.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't care, I don't need your band.
Right. Nah, it was funny, the setup, the whole setup. He's like, she's like, I told you what to do, color. Mm-hmm. I don't care about what you and color tone do. Mm-hmm. Yo, he played the hell out of this part, bro. Like, yeah, he played the hell out of this part.
He should have said, well, I fucked your girl, though.
That's bro, what he should've said. I was like,
missed opportunity. Like, she just fired you. What else is there to lose?
Yeah, I was expecting him, especially with all the shit talking he was doing throughout the movie, to mention that he was like, that's why I was with her just a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, like, but for him to unravel the way he did after that firing, to me, that it I don't know, it felt like it went a little too extreme, even though it kind of ended well, I guess, overall. But
did what it? Did you guys? It ended well?
What movie did you watch?
Yeah, what part ended well?
I liked how it, like, Mike, you said it, you felt like it was like a weird art house film. Like, I was taking it in that creative sense, is like, okay, I don't know. I know this is a play, but I don't know where they're going to go with it. I don't know how they're going to.
You're saying it ended well for the viewer.
It was a quality ending versus a happy ending. I thought he was saying, like,
yeah, I'm about to say, nigga, for who?
He killed Brad Taylor. And they said, don't look at me like that.
No, I was just saying, like, after he got fired, like, it was just like he lost it. Because you would think, like, all the shit talking he was doing, that he had something lined up. Because, like, he had that conversation with the white man. About the songs that he wrote, mm-hmm. and he was trying to get
that's what he had
for.
Lined up,
right?
That's what he had lined up.
He thought that that was a sure thing,
yep.
But then you also have to realize that he just got fired in front of them, right? So he has to also now he's talking all that shit, but he now looks like he can't work in a group to these white people, right? So he's gotten fired in front of the white people who he wants to go work for. And then, so that, I mean, he's tense. It's tense. So now everything that he thought he had lined up is kind of looking kind of shaky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that they wrote that part so well. Mm-hmm. Like, until the end, I kept saying, like, why does he keep going to that fucking door? This is getting irritating. Mm-hmm. Why does he keep trying to open this door? Where does the door even go? And when he got fired, got clowned or whatever, and when he finally opens that door, and it's that little ass room, and there's nothing in there.
Door to nowhere.
The door to nowhere. He finally realizes, like, the whole movie, he has this idea that the sky's the limit. I can do anything. And he finally gets through that door, and there's nothing there.
Another wall.
I got nothing. I got fucking nothing. And then when you said it was extreme, the way he reacted, nah, man, it made sense. Like, this dude really thought that he was going to be the next big thing. After all this shit that's happened to him, he thought that he was going to be the next big thing. And this fucking white guy is just like, nah, I'll give you $5. Mm-hmm. I'll give you $5. But your songs aren't that good. So for him to hear, like, that's the one thing that he knew he had.
Yeah.
He had song talent, like songwriting talent, musical talent. And the white dude says, nah, man, you ain't got shit. To go back in that room and then have these other guys who he thought were peons, especially the old man, step on his fucking brand new shoes.
He just spent his last dollar.
Just spent his last 11
and
bucks.
And he don't know where he go get some more money.
Right. Man, that whole ending was fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said it was extreme because it threw me off, because the whole time his anger is clearly built off of racism from what white people have done to him and his
right.
people. So for him to react that violence onto his people,
because that's what the fuck message. We do.
I kind of get the message, but it was just like, I wish, based off like how Ma was cussing out the white man, like she always, for the most part, kept most of the negative energy towards the white man and understanding that. But then now I'm thinking about it, that does make sense, because she's older, she learned from it, and he's young and he didn't. Okay, never mind.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was more about him, you know, enacting violence on his own people. In that sense, I just think throughout the movie, they showed us that he was just an extremely emotional person. And they showed it in a myriad of different ways, from his argument with old boy about the food thing, to him snapping old boy and trying to stab him, you know, about Colton with the God thing. Like, he was a powder keg just waiting to just blow up.
I don't know, bro. I think that was definitely a quote-unquote black-on-black crime message. Because it was one of those situations where, like, we just had a discussion on the podcast where we're talking about why we attack each other. Mm-hmm. It's because we're put into certain situations and we don't see a way out. I think that's the message they were putting forth. Absolutely. Like, if there was anybody in that entire movie that he should have stabbed, should have been that white dude that was just like, your songs ain't shit, I'm gonna give you $5.
Yeah, it wasn't but about the shoes.
But he wasn't.
It wasn't about the shoes at all.
But he wasn't in proximity.
He was
the white guy was upstairs though. That's what I'm saying.
Remember, he was gonna go up. He did. They filmed it beautifully. He like leaned, looked like he was gonna go upstairs and just.
But then he realized he can't do that,
and then he went downstairs mad.
Right.
Never was about the shoes. So somebody could have fucking bumped into him. He would have been mad about that.
Right.
Anything could have happened to him in that moment, and it wasn't even because of black man. It was because of what a white man promised you, and you didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, how happy he was in the very beginning of the very first scene you see him with the guys, he's mm-hmm. happy about these shoes. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the very last thing you see, somebody steps on him, and he takes all his rage and anger out over these damn shoes.
And again, it's not even about the damn shoes. It's about the idea of it, yeah. right? It's about like.
It's his ambition. It's his drive. If the right. shoes represented mm-hmm. him thinking that he is going to get to the next yep. level, mm-hmm. the white dude is really the one who stepped on
yeah.
him. But it's easier for him to take his aggression and his emotion out mm-hmm. on his own people.
Yep.
It's the same shit. Today.
How we say mm-hmm. like we rob fucking Family Dollars or the local right. local places. Like right. we really don't want to steal from our own people. It's just the shit that. We're not given in this country, in this world, by shit, the white man, right? And then it makes us act out on shit our own people.
Because we know we can get away with it easier. Like, I can get away with it easier attacking you than I mm-hmm. could a rich white person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they were trying to push that message of Absolutely. Why we do these things. Absolutely. We take the aggression out on each other because we know it's easier to get away with that then they just take the aggression out on the people who deserve it. Mm-hmm. He can't go attack that white man.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he immediately realized what he did
yep.
and was like, Cutler, help. Like, I'm going to get you help. Somebody help me. Like, he did.
The Chadwick best part was like,
fool. I'm sorry.
Brad Taylor looking up at him, he was dead.
Yeah.
And he looked at him and he said, man, don't look at me like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That part killed me. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the same shit. It's like, when we talk about why we do these things to each other,
mm-hmm.
nobody wants to fucking hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Taylor is looking back at him like, you just killed me for nothing. My own bandmate, my own black brother, whatever, right. you killed me for nothing. And he said, don't look at me like that.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was crazy.
It was.
So Ken, you expected that to happen or something like that to happen?
Oh, were you?
Because he just attacked... Domingo.
Cutler, yeah.
Oh, so I didn't expect it. I literally went.
yeah, he just
I
he
didn't
had
expect it at all.
Because I thought he was gonna stab him the way he Cutler. Reacted mm-hmm. violently to the whole God thing. So,
but then they got over that and it was quote unquote good. You know
but we
saying?
Saw we saw how violent he
it was a progression
turned.
Of violence.
Yeah, so he was just like it was just yeah exactly.
I wasn't expecting it.
Me neither. I was
at
like,
all.
What'd I say? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I was like, damn. I was super shocked.
I don't gasp at films.
Yeah.
I audibly was just like.
I did too.
Oh, shit. Not Brad.
Yeah, I did too.
It was sad.
Like, I was like, damn, what's Jaleesa going to do? They just had
not
the kids. I'm just
me.
Saying. I was like, damn, they done killed Brad Taylor. That would hit me. I was not even remotely expecting that.
And it was crazy because, like, people die over shoes today.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, man.
Remember that line? I'm sorry, Rod.
No, go ahead.
What you said reminded me. Remember that line that they said in the beginning? He was like, niggas gonna have fun before you and niggas gonna have fun after you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's ties to what you're going with as far as like we dealing with the same shit different day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. People killing people over shoes, man. Especially and then people stepping on shoes in the club and all
that
shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's still a thing.
Still a fucking thing.
Yeah, I was shocked just like y'all. And then the way it closes out with the white guy who essentially bought because he sold him the songs for $5 a pop. Because
mm-hmm.
he had like three or four songs. So he did make good money, but obviously he's not going to see long-term money, generational money off of that. And it's just going right to the white guy who and his white band, who he said at first was like, yeah, I didn't like the songs, but clearly we knew that was a lie. And like, just to see how, like how you said, Rod, I think you were like, this is these stories are probably not fictional. Or one of y'all said that.
Definitely not. That's yeah, definitely not fiction.
And I'm thinking like, if that was a real story or this is based off of a real story, like that's someone who could have been a superstar and now he's just a murderer. You know?
I'm sure that's based on fucking Elvis. People
I
like,
want to
like,
say it was based on someone around that time as well, if not multiple people.
I mean, that was a common thing that Black people were the backbone of the music industry, but they knew that they couldn't sell Black people making that music.
Mm-hmm. It was called Slave Records. Mm-hmm. That's what they called
Race Records.
Race records. Called it Race Records, And that was a thing back then. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's fucking crazy.
But wait, before we move off the death thing, did y'all catch how at the beginning of the movie, Chadwick Boseman said that death comes in style, like death has style.
Yeah.
And then he ends up being the stylish dude that kills the old man at the end.
August Wilson is brilliant.
That shit, man. I don't know who that guy is.
He's brilliant.
But yeah, that shit was crazy. But yeah, the white people doing the song shit. I was like, yeah, I kind of had a feeling. Yeah. The second the dude was just like, because he had that kind of slimy kind of way he would say, oh, yeah, songs ain't really worth shit. I was like, oh, if they really wasn't worth shit, he wouldn't be trying to give you $5.
Exactly.
He'd just be telling you, they ain't worth shit, get the fuck out of here. So when they show those dudes at the end singing his music, I was like, damn, this movie is fucking, this movie's just mean, man.
And like Ken said, they were all stiff with his shit.
I know.
Just like,
he
turned
around like he really had the shit too.
Right. And he was like,
Yeah,
and we just saw them get down in there,
yeah,
in
man.
Session. And then you go to this dry ass shit. Yep.
Cause that Black Bottom song, when she started singing, I was like, oh, that's a hit. Yeah, that's a hit. I see why they wanted that song, especially down south. That's it. And you selling like blackness, black sexuality to white people. They gonna love that shit, bro.
Like, they had no soul. None. When that dude was playing that trumpet, they were just kind of, like, sitting there watching them. Like, nobody was dancing and grooving to it. It was just like, wow, man, this shit is fucking crazy. It's like cookie cutter, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but that's what they liked back then. And he even said, he's like, man, you ain't heard me play these songs. Let me play these songs, mister. Nah, here's your little $5, nigger. Get out of here.
Dang, Mike, you just, that whole breakdown as far as what you were saying with, like, because he did say he was Satan, you know, and stuff early on. And I'm like, I didn't think about it as far as the new shoes and the style. That shit is crazy.
It's deep, man. This movie deep, man.
It is.
And it's only an hour and a half. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it felt longer. It was like, damn, there's a lot of shit they really put in.
It was so many layers to this. It was so many layers to this. I loved it.
Did you pick up anything else out of the 5 songs you
watched? Out of the multiple times that I watched it? I don't think, not so much, not that I can think of that we haven't already touched on. Like I said, the whole thing with the Great Migration and people moving up north and dealing with the same type of racism that they dealt with down south and that frustration. Like I said, Ma Rainey not really being in a situation where she is as prominent up north as she is down south and having to argue with white people in this recording situation and with the record labels where she don't have that problem down south. And her attitude because of that, I really enjoyed it. This was my kind of shit, man. I loved it.
I thought it was interesting. They showed us both versions of white people. Like the one that's all like real nice and friendly and we're going to give you everything. But he just as fucked up and shady as the guy that shows you that he's fucked up and shady and don't give a fuck about you. I thought that was interesting.
And how
that
she cued in on that. Like, I done known you for 6 years. You've been a manager for 6 years. You only asked me to come to your house to sing for your wife.
That's what I said. She was aware. Yeah. She was really aware. And I didn't realize she was that aware. I really didn't. I didn't pick up on that.
For some reason, when I see a movie that's set in them old days, when I see you see angry black folks in movies like this all the time, but they're never angry towards white people like that. So for her to be bold enough to be talking to, like when she was talking to that cop, I was like, hell yeah. But then for a second, I was like, well,
this ain't realistic.
Yeah, what the fuck? This cop would have popped you in the fucking side of the head with a stick already. But then like after that, when she walked into the actual studio, I was like, oh, that's what this is. She knows that she's the shit, mm-hmm. and she can get away with whatever the fuck she wants to get away with.
But she needed the white man to get away with it because he was gonna pop her upside the head.
Yeah, she'd have popped him back. I don't think she just went
down.
That wouldn't have been like Oprah Winfrey in fucking Color Purple. It wouldn't have been like that. She would have fought back.
She probably would.
She might have won. That cop was little. Mom might have fucked him up.
Yeah, because he was scared.
He was scared. Because he probably ain't used to no black woman talking to him like that.
She had the whole town shook. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was interesting too, because that was Chicago, and Cook County cops were known to be super corrupt. That scene also that struck me too. I was like, this the same Cook County that's in Chicago that they be talking about in that. Yeah, so I was like that scene, just knowing that history too. I was like, wow, she was real brash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love movies like this where they can tell a story like that within a day's time. I've always liked that storytelling.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about
that. Yeah, I've always that
was all Reservoir in one day. Dogs.
Yeah, I've always
training days like that too, right?
Yeah, days like that. Like, you know, like I've always enjoyed that type of storytelling.
A day in the life.
Day in the life, yeah.
The whole play aspect though, I'm really stuck on. I really didn't. I'm glad I didn't know that ahead of time, right? But I think that's actually pretty cool that they did it that way. Mm-hmm. Cause I tend to like movies that, like, have you seen Dogville?
Yeah.
I figured you have. You might like Dogville, actually.
I never saw you that movie.
It's a Lars von Trier film, but it's not as brutal and weird as his other shit. But it all takes place like on a stage, like it's a play. Mm. But I don't want to give anything else away. But that, now that y'all are saying that this is a play, it kind of gives me that same feeling, because it's like everything is isolated to one specific or two specific areas. Scenes. So yeah, that's, and I want to watch it again.
Yeah, I
didn't know it was a play either. So it really explained a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Denzel got the rights to August Wilson's plays, and he's supposed to be working on bringing, I think it's like, I don't know if he has more than 8 of them, but I think it's 8 that he's supposed to be bringing to the screen. Mm. So
you started off saying that You didn't understand, and you still don't understand. After talking it through, do you understand?
No, I like talking about it, because I think there are a lot of things to discuss and pull apart. But I still don't think I like the movie overall. Mm-hmm. But in terms of talking about it with all the layers and everything that's in it, I love those type of discussions.
Well, I'm just saying the understanding of it now. Hmm? Do you have a better understanding of the movie now?
Oh yeah, I think it was just the play aspect of it and the way it was shot. Mm-hmm.
Kind
of
threw you off.
It really threw me off.
I can see that.
Yeah, but
I enjoy that type of stuff.
Yeah,
but like I don't particularly like plays, but I enjoy.
Yeah, I don't like plays either.
Yeah, yeah, but I enjoy when somebody puts you in a situation like this, like drops you somewhere and just tells it. A Day in the Life. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of things in here that I like, but just as an overall movie, I was just like, that one didn't do it. Gotcha.
All right. But any last thoughts on Ma Rainey's Black Bottom?
Loved it.
Stellar performances across the board. Great writing, great, like I said,
director did a really good job too, because there were certain things that he did that weren't in the play, like the whole him opening the door to the room. The director added that in. I think the director did a really good job on this.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, he was, what's his name,
George C. Wolf.
Yeah, man, he's super dope. Like I watched some of that behind the scenes, like his, you can see his mind just like, it's like
he's a black guy.
His mind was just like, you could just tell, man. He's almost like very Spike Lee-ish in a way. So yeah, he was super dope with this.
It was interesting how their use of music too. There wasn't really a lot of music in there other than the music they were playing.
And I love that. See,
me too, because everything was silent. Like when they were, that was another weird thing. When you're saying it's a play, it makes sense now. But when, like, I noticed that in me, I was like, what? They're like, there's no backdrop. Like when he was giving that whole monologue about his parents. It's like, this could have used a little piano or something. That kind of make it extra sad, but there was nothing. Mm-hmm.
Did anybody peep during that scene when he was talking about his mom, the way his eye was jumping and twitching when he was talking? Man, Chadwick was acting fool.
That's what I was going to ask you, Nate. Like, you think he's going to get nominated?
They're talking about it. They're talking about him possibly being nominated for this.
Yeah, of course they're going to nominate him. Yeah. He died.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way those shitty award shows go. But he definitely did his thing, and so did Coleman.
Then the whole cast.
I mean, homie that was playing the fucking
Slow Drag.
Yeah, he was kind of just in the background. He was like there. He was like, you God.
Was he like the only one that didn't have a story?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have a story.
And the nephew. Now. And they didn't really elaborate on Dussie Mae either.
On who?
Dussie Mae.
I think that was probably on purpose. Mm-hmm. And that made sense that they didn't give her a backstory. And that sounds really misogynistic. But I think it makes sense for this particular movie that she didn't really need a backstory. But they could have gave Slow Homeboy Drag. Something. Yeah. I can't remember his fucking name. Slow Dive?
Slow Drag.
Slow Sylvester. Drag.
Oh. Colonel Taylor didn't really have a backstory either. He just was a more prominent character.
He had a story. Right. Didn't he tell a story?
He told a whole bunch of stories.
Yeah. They were like, preaching. They were metaphors. Yeah, they were like philosophizing.
Right. I don't think they were real stories.
Yeah. No, he had one story
where he lost his girl to someone to go to church.
That's why she was.
Yeah. Right.
He was a heathen.
But he didn't have really that backstory. But Slow Dive didn't really, Slow Drag didn't really say much of anything. Mm-hmm. He just kind of stood in the background.
You know what to do. She was shaking that thing for them boys too, boy. She was like, "What you, Mom, tell her to stop?
Stop! Sit this, what she say? Flaunting yourself." I love this. I feel like I've heard people talk like this my whole life. Like these old people. Yes, God.
Nah, the scene that got me, the best scene in my opinion, was when she was drinking that Coke slowly.
Man.
She told that Coke crying. Up. How do you drink Coke like that? I can't drink Coke like that.
Old people can.
Yeah. Yes.
They chug it like that?
And that's that Coca-Cola with the cocaine in it. That was a real Coke.
Oh, I didn't think about that aspect.
Old people can drink a goddamn soda, man. Mm-hmm. Golly. They drinking gin and shit all the time. Gin and moonshine. That ain't shit. A Coca-Cola?
I could chug some whiskey before I could chug a Coke.
Like, you Coke can?
Yeah. Coke burns. Like, has this weird, like...
Whiskey dog?
I can drink good whiskey. You drink that rot gut shit. That shit might burn. But I cannot chug Coke at all. The way when she was just...
And listen.
All right,
it's
okay.
Mike. It's
all right.
We're going. We're
going to
let that go.
What was she doing, Mike?
Too good, man.
We're going to let that go. Just...
Oh, shit.
Go ahead and finish.
Yes, that's how you do it,
Nick. Good. Have a Coke and a smile.
Oh, shit.
Y'all ain't got no damn
sense. Damn. Y'all stupid, man.
Shit.
Oh, man. All right. Well, those are the last thoughts. Anybody else got something to say?
I ain't got shit else, bro.
Wonderful movie.
All right, those are our thoughts on Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Please let us know what your thoughts are on the FPS Podcast Reddit thread, FPS Podcast. That's also the handle for IG and Twitter. Please continue to also send us your recommendations because we got recommended this one by a lot of people, but we knew we were going to review it anyway. But we're looking for new stuff to review, especially now that we're getting finished with other shows and movies. So, tune in next week to hear what we got next. We out. Peace.